Job chapter 1. What a wonderful book this is. How many people have been helped through the words, through the experience of our brother Job. Had he not gone through what he went through, there had been a whole lot of folks needing help that would not have gotten it in the way that they did, because this book offers some help to those who are hurting. We'll look only in verse 20 through 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. See, after he lost everything like he did, and losing still more, to be able to worship the Lord. It's one thing to be able to pray, one thing to be able to try to rejoice about things. Things are going to get better. Things are going to turn around. Try and encourage yourself. But he worshiped the Lord. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. If there's any book that we would say, why do bad things happen to good people, it would be this book and the experience that Job had. That really is not a true statement, by the way. Bad things do not happen to good people because there are no good people. The only time something bad happened to someone good was when Jesus was hung on the cross and Jesus was mistreated. But I do understand what we mean by what we say. Why do these things happen? And I have to say, I do not know for sure. I suppose there are times when Romans 8:28 has to be enough. We just know that God works things together for our good and for His glory. But our brother Job was certainly an example in many ways to hurting people. And as we look through these verses, I see first that we know that God is God. Why do bad things happen to good people? I'll take a little while before I get to where I'm going, and I'll tell you what I'm preaching on. Let me kind of peck around a little bit first. I do know this. God is God. I mean, He is God. Finally, verse 3 of chapter 38, don't have to turn, just listen. God's talking to Job, and He says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Finally, Job, in his depression, discouragement, disappointment, questions, God finally just said, well, if you want to talk about it, just sit down and we'll talk about it. Number one, He says, where were you when I made everything? He says, if you want to have a conversation, we'll talk it over. But Job found out real quick, talking to God is a dangerous thing sometimes. God reminded him who He was. God is God. He's the one that made everything. He is God. And God is the one that can do things like He wants to. We are man, and He is God, and He knows what He's doing. God never does check with me before He does anything. Never has asked my opinion about anything. And He never will. He doesn't have to and He won't because He is God. There is a difference between us and Him. His ways are so far above our ways, we couldn't understand if He tried to explain it to us. God is God, but I say also in this book we find out that God is not only God, but we find out that God is good. In chapter 1, verse 21, just what we just read, Job says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. He realized everything I have, everything I've had came from God. And the reason He gave me these things to begin with is because He is good. God is a God. He is Lord over all things, but He's a good God. And if He's a good God, listen to me, He's going to do good things. Some things we go through, we don't see how in the world there can be any way to describe it as good, but God does. What Job experienced turned out to be a good experience for him. And you may not understand God's conduct, but you can understand His character. He is good. And since He is good, He's going to do good things. Even in what you're facing right now, God, the good God, has allowed it to come your way. In this book, we find that God is God and God is good. But here's my thought for this morning. We find also in this book that God is gracious. In chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord is talking to Lucifer, to the devil. And there's no doubt about it, the devil's wanting to send his teeth into Job. He's wanting to attack God's man, Job. And God's response to the devil in verse 12, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." He says, okay, you can have him to try him to harm him, to hurt him, to attack him, but you can only go so far. Over in chapter 2, verse 6, he says to the devil, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." And every time that God said to the devil, "You can attack Job, but there is a limit to how far I will let you go." And I say from that, and here's my message, God is a gracious God. I mean by that, here's my message, it could have been worse. Saying that about Job is a big thing. For we're not talking about an ingrown toenail or a tummy ache before he goes to bed. This man lost much of what meant the most to him. And the Lord allowed a lot to happen. But listen, here it is. It could have been worse. And had the devil been allowed to, it would have been worse. Well, I want to ask you a question. Try and answer it. How in the world could it have been worse than what Job experienced? And I thought about this. What if his sorrow had been prolonged? In chapter 1, verse 19, "Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead." Here comes a messenger and tells Job that all his children are dead all at one time. All of the children of Job are wiped out in a moment. You say, how in the world could that have been worse? I believe it could have been. As bad as it was to have a funeral with 10 coffins, as bad as it was for all the children to be killed at a moment's notice, I thought about this. What if the devil had done it one at a time? What if he killed one child and let Job go through that heartache and that suffering and that pain in those tears, and let Job go through this experience of heartache until finally he's beginning to heal and he's finally beginning to get some comfort and finally the joy is coming back and he's getting through the sorrow and getting through the grief, and then right when Job thinks it's about to get better, then the devil kills another child. And all that pain and all that heartache and all that loneliness floods the heart of Job again. And right when he thinks he's getting better, all of a sudden it all comes again. And it comes a little while longer. And the joy finally begins to come again, and the grief finally begins to lessen, and he goes through this heartache and all this trouble, and finally he can sit down in the evening and lay down at night, and he can kind of smile again, and then all of a sudden another child gets killed. What if his sorrow had been prolonged, I say, as bad as it was, to lose them all at one time? It would have been worse. Had it been one by one by one by one, and had that sorrow been stretched out over months and years, it would have been worse. I say, as bad as it was, it could have been worse. And I want to tell you, as bad as sometimes the things we have to go through, it could be worse. It could be worse. What if his sorrow had been prolonged? I thought about this. It could have been worse. What if his sickness had been permanent? In chapter 2, verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. I thought about, boy, what agony this man went through. What suffering, what pain. How bad his sickness was. But it could have been worse. The devil had plenty of diseases he did not get allowed to afflict Job with. As bad as the boils were, and as much agony as Job went through, and as much trouble and trials and burdens that he had, it could have been worse. It could have been more disease and more affliction. But listen, it could have been permanent. There came a time when the boils began to clear up. There came a time when the pain began to lessen. There came a time when those places were just a spot on his hand, a faint memory. But what if the Lord had allowed the devil to continue that pain and continue that torment? Have you ever been so sick that you didn't even hardly know where you were at? Have you ever had so much pain that you didn't even hardly know where you're at? I believe that's God's protective system for the body and the mind. It's almost like I talk to people and I'm asking them, those days when you were so sick, did you know what was going on? And they say, I don't even hardly remember it. And it's, I believe God protects us in those times of extreme pain or severe sickness to where our mind protects ourselves to where it's not quite as bad, but what if the Lord had allowed the devil to afflict Job tremendously and kept his right mind through it all? And knew the agony and knew the sorrow and knew the pain, and Job had no hope of ever getting any better. I have had pain from time to time. I'm in pain all the time, but I've had some what I think is pretty severe pain from time to time. And while I'm hurting the worst, I think it's going to get better. This pain will go away. This disease will end. And the hope when the pain is the worst is sooner or later, I'm going to feel better again. Even Job felt that. But what if he had no hope of it ever getting better? If he was in agony until he died. I don't know how much longer Job lived. But what if God had allowed the devil to afflict Job for the rest of his life with sickness? It could have been worse. It was bad, but it could have been worse. Now say this morning, I know you may be going through some trials. And I know your day may be dark and your trials may be hard and the storm may be severe. But it could be worse. You may wonder, but I say it could have been worse. I thought about this. What if his sorrow was prolonged and his sickness was permanent? I thought about this. What if his spouse had been persistent? In chapter 2, verse 9, Job's wife, who had known through the same thing he went through, except for the sickness, She'd lost her children too. Her finances had been set back also. She went through the trials also. Did not excuse what she says. It does not excuse her seemingly bitterness over the situation, but it does explain it. And here's what Job's wife said to Job, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." The best I can tell, that's the only thing she ever said to him, negative. And as hard as that was for dear Job to take, after all he's gone through, now his own wife is turning against him and seemingly against his God. And she finally says, "Why don't you just curse God and die, Job?" And as bad as that was, it could have been worse. What if his spouse had been persistent? In other words, what if all day long she said, "Where's this God you've been talking about, Job? Where's your God? That God you pray to? That God you trusted, that God that's so good, where's your God now, Job?" What if all day long? What if she woke him up in the night and said, "Job, why ain't you calling on your God? Where's your God now, Job? You're hurting, you're sick, we're without, our children are gone, we've lost everything. Where's your God at now, Job?" What if every day, all day, through the night, she persisted? You ever known a nagging woman? By the way, ladies, there's some nagging men, too. I am amazed. I say that, and the only thing I heard was men saying amen. You ladies are allowed to say amen when the preacher finally says something right. But it could have been worse. As much as it hurt Job, Job loved the Lord, and he loved his family, and he loved his wife, and he knew he was right to walk with God. And he didn't even understand why. And for his wife to say what she did tore his heart apart. But it could have been worse. She could have nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged and kept on. And the next day and the next week could have been worse. What he went through was bad, but it could have been worse. What you're going through may be bad. It may seem worse than anything you've ever faced. And it may be, but I tell you, it could have been worse. I thought about this. What if his sorrow had been prolonged and his sickness had been permanent and his spouse had been persistent? What if his Savior had been persuaded? Verse 10 of chapter 1, the devil's trying his best to persuade God to let down the hedge and leave it down completely. It says, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, all that he hath, and he will curse thee to his face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thine power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The devil makes it very clear. He says, "Put forth thine hand and touch all that he hath." The devil was wanting to do more than he did. The devil was wanting to afflict Job more than he was able to. What if the Savior, what if the Lord hadn't been persuaded? What if the devil somehow had convinced God to let the devil have Job completely and entirely with no limit, no boundary, no restriction? I'm talking about a being that cheers men like Hitler, thrilled with 9/11, laughs in glee over child molesters. I'm talking about a being that loves heartache and pain and suffering, enjoys bringing agony to people's lives, listen to me, that has no mercy whatsoever, and undoubtedly has great power. He's the one that caused the storms to come. He's the one that made the people attack and kill. He's the one that afflicted Job with the sickness. This being undoubtedly does have great power, and he has no mercy whatsoever. What if God had said, okay, go ahead, you can have them, no restrictions? Wonder what would have happened to Job then. What if his Savior had been persuaded? I don't know what would have happened had God let Job be attacked more severely. And I don't have to know, because God said no. And I'll tell you, that same God this morning saying no to the devil in your life and mine. So we need to realize God is aware of what we're facing. Your case did not slip through the office. God was not in the lounge taking a coffee break when your disaster came. He's not unaware of what you're going through. He is very much aware. He knows exactly what you're facing right now. God is aware, and he's not only aware, he's able. If he so chooses, he could just fix it right now. It's not a problem for him. The God who spoke the universe into existence has no problem in dealing with our issues. He could, and he may, but he may not. But I do know this, if he doesn't fix it, if he doesn't calm your storm, if he doesn't take away the problem, there's a reason for it. Because he's not only aware and not only able, he is affected. You see, your God loves you. Have you ever, as a parent, had to let your children do something that you knew was going to hurt them because you knew they had to learn the hard way? There's been many skinned elbows and knees. There's been many casts on broken arms. There's been many kids crying. There's been many younger teenagers and all that who have gone through suffering because a parent knew wisely they got to learn. And they allowed the child to do something that they knew would hurt them. But I will tell you one thing. When that little child came crying with a scratched and scraped up knee, that parent wept with them. And that teenager went through that heartache and came home crying. That parent wept with them because they were affected. They loved their children, and they knew what they were going through was hurting them, and it hurt them too. And I heard some dumb preacher, and I'll tell you what, he's a dumb preacher, said that God is so sovereign that even our heartache doesn't touch him because he knows. I'm telling you what, that's just plumb dumb. The Bible talks about God being grieved. God hurts when we hurt. God is grieved when we're grieving. I tell you what, you think you're hurting, so is your God. So is your Father. He's allowed you to go through it, and he's weeping with you. He's hurting with you. He's suffering with you. He is not only able, he's not only aware, but he is affected. And I know he knows the outcome. I know he knows he's God and he's working. I understand that. But I want to tell you, our Father loves us. And what we face touches his heart. So no, your God loves you that much. He's weeping with you. He's hurting with you. He's wanting help for you. And he has it, by the way. And I say first, God is aware and God is affected and God is able. I say next, God is attainable. I can talk to him. I can get some help. I thought, and unless you missed it, I've tried to share with you. What if it got worse? And as I was thinking on that, coming to church this morning, I thought this. Had it been worse, God would have had enough grace for Job to endure it. Had he said, okay, devil, you can have him, no restriction. Had it been worse, God would have given grace to Job to face it. So I say to you this morning, you are not alone. You are not without help. You have a God who commands you to come to Him for help. He's attainable. You can talk to Him. You can go to Him for help. You can get better. Things can improve. God will help you through it. He will give you grace. But you need to want it. You need to be willing to accept it. The devil will convince us somehow that it's right to hurt, right to grieve, right to be sorrowful, right to be depressed, but it isn't. God wants to give us help. We can receive that help rightly, and it'll please your Father when you do. It's okay to smile. It's okay to rejoice. It's okay to thank the Lord. In fact, not just okay, it's right to do it and wrong not to. We need to thank Him and let Him work His grace. He's attainable. We have something to learn. Your God wants you to learn something. I don't know what, but I know this, He wants you to learn something. Make us learn how weak you are, how able He is, how useless this world is, how wicked things are. I don't know what He wants us to learn. Don't know what He wants you to learn. But I promise you something. Whatever we go through, there's a lesson involved. He wants us to learn it. Which means, I get it. A whole lot of things in school I supposed to learn, I didn't learn. Because I didn't want to listen. And I'll tell you one thing. We can go through trials and not learn the lesson God tries to get us to learn. And that means He may have to send us to another trial because we didn't learn what He wanted us to learn the first time. I sure don't want to have to hurt two times if hurting one time will teach me what I'm supposed to learn. So we need to learn. He wants us to learn. He wants us to lean. He wants you to trust Him. Lean on Him. Lean heavily on Him. I'll tell you what, there's times. Well, I'll tell you, there's been times, and I know you understand. If God didn't help me, I felt like I was a goner. And then absolutely desperation fell on Him. Trusted Him when it didn't feel like He was around. Didn't seem like He was listening. Job dealt with that. He said, I don't know where God is at. I can't find Him. I can't feel Him. I don't hear Him. And during those dark times when you feel like God's nowhere around is when He's probably the closest. And when we need to trust Him the most. We need to lean on Him. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I said again, sometimes all you get is Romans 8, 28. Things do work together for good to them that love God. We need to learn. We need to listen. You need to learn what He's wanting you to learn. Lean on Him and trust Him and then listen to what He says. If there's ever a time we need to hear from God, it's in the dark days. When the storms are worse. When the trials are the most severe. If there's ever a time, we need to listen to Him all the time. We need to obey Him all the time. But if there's ever a time we need to listen to Him, it's when we're going through the trial. If Job ever needed to listen to God, it was during these chapters we're reading. And I'm glad when we listen to Him, He's going to tell us the right thing. He'll tell you what He wants you to do. And in that time when we're going through trials, it's when we need to listen and obey Him more than ever. He knows the way through the wilderness, and I don't. So I need to listen to Him, obey Him. Let Him direct my path. Need to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do what You want me to do. We need to go after God. Do everything we can for His glory. Our Father knows what He's doing. And why He lets the devil attack us like he does, I don't know. But he does. And we must come to the point to where we say, Lord, are You listening to me? We must come to the point to where we say, okay, Lord, I am willing. I do not want to hurt, but if I need to hurt right now, I'm willing. I do not want to face this, but if I have to right now, I'm willing. I don't want this to come, but it has come for a reason. And I know you're good, and I know you're God. And I bow to you. There are people who are mad at God. There are people who are sick physically and emotionally because they resisted the work of God in their lives. And when you're going through something like Job went through, the worst trial that we could ever imagine, it's difficult to say, Lord, you be God in my life, and you do what you want to do. But we must. We must. If we don't, we are resisting the very God of heaven, and we'll never win. We'll never win. There are people, I'm no doubt about it, I believe one of my good friends has been in heaven for a while, died still mad at God. I'd go and see him, I'd talk to him around different places, and I could see that anger, I could see that bitterness. And a man who used to have joy and would shout at a drop of a hat, I saw turn into a bitter man because of an issue in his life that he would not accept. I tell you, some of you are hurting, I know that. Some of you are going through the darkest days you've ever faced. And when they'll end, I have no idea. But more than ever before, you need to say, Lord, I want you to be God of my life. I want you to take me and do with me what you will. And I believe the day will come when you look back and say, God did take care of me. And I believe the day will come, it may be when you stand before the Lord, when you say, thank you, God, you did know what you were doing, and you did do right. There's some people here this morning, no doubt. What you need is to be saved. And God loves you enough to where he sent his son to die for you on a cross to pay your debt. And this morning, the good God of heaven wants to forgive you. How many people do you know that will chase you down and beg you to let them forgive you when you did wrong? And I'll tell you what, we're the one that's done wrong. And God says, I've got a plan where I can forgive you. But there's only one plan. And you'll accept my plan or I won't forgive you. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I say this morning, if you never have been saved, never have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, the need of your life, the need of your eternity is to accept him. Which means you realize you're a sinner and deserving of punishment. You believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you and to pay your sin debt. And then in prayer you call on him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? I believe you. I trust you. I give you myself. Please forgive me. You know what? If he speaks to your heart, draws you, and you do that, he'll save you. He'll forgive you. But I believe there's some folks, and honestly, I had another message. I really did until a day and a half ago. I had something else. I was really excited about preaching it. But there's some folks here. I don't have anybody in my mind. I don't know. But right now you're going through some dark spots, and you need some help. I just want to tell you, it could be worse. Could be worse. And this morning I want to beg you to come and say, Lord, please help me. Give me grace. I want to honor you. I want to do the right thing. Don't want to get mad. Don't want to get bitter. Don't want to mess up now. A lot of people out of church right now because they didn't handle the problem right when there was help to be had. Let's stand together.